Regularly scheduled programs will not be seen tonight so that we may bring you the NFL live and in color.
From the men who brought you basically a sports show, if your football fix wasn't met on Thursday night, it's time for an additional slice. This is basically a football show right now. Let's go!
Get it in here! I got one thing to say. This is when the big dogs come out.
Damn right.
You can't roll the big dogs. Stay on the ball.
Let's knock them on their backs, butt them in the mouth, knock their ass in the dirt. That's what we got to do.
Hey, baby! We're going to be here all day, baby! I like this kind of party. I like this kind of party, baby.
His method is not Grand Prix, but Demolition Derby.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, week two of basically a football show, season two. We got 1 week of college in the books, and now we got to put Thursday. This is when the big boys come out to play. The NFL kicks off on Thursday, and here to preview it for you is me, Zach. Along with me is Greg, as always. Greg, interesting first week in college, but again, the big dogs come out this week when Seattle opens the season on Thursday.
You know, I was really excited to do the college preview show. I am twice as excited to do the NFL preview show because I told you this before we started recording. I think this is one of the most intriguing NFL seasons I can remember in a very, very long time. And we're going to get to talk all about it. But I'm really excited about the start of the NFL season. My Green Bay Packers go up to Seattle and, well, you know, it'll probably happen, but we'll see.
Well, I mean, you remember the last time the Packers went up to Seattle.
Was that the Fail Mary game?
That was the Fail Mary.
Yeah. Well, we'll have regular officials this time, so that should be better.
Yeah, at least you'll have that.
We'll have that, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, I thought last year was one of the most intriguing years we had in a while. The NFC, at least, from top to bottom. The AFC is a little bit more straightforward, and I think the AFC, unfortunately, has the two worst divisions in football.
Yes.
Unfortunately, my team happens to be on top of one of them, but we'll get to that soon enough. We'll start with your Packers opponent on Thursday, and we'll start in the NFC West with the Super Bowl champion, Seattle Seahawks, 13-3 last season. They had to pay a couple of their big defensive guys this offseason, Richard Sherman and Thomas, right? Earl Thomas?
Right.
Offense, relatively unchanged. You still got Russell Wilson being ridiculously underpaid, and that'll be that way for at least the next two seasons. Good for you, Seattle. And you still got beast mode in the backfield, and they got to hope that Percy Harvin's healthy. And I mean, you saw what he did in the Super Bowl when he was healthy with that kickoff return. But Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks, not too much changed.
What do you think? I still like them an awful lot. I still think they're going to be a really, really good team. I would almost be willing to pick them to repeat as Super Bowl champions, except for the fact that repeating seems to be really hard to do these days, and there always seems to be a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover with teams every year. But coming out of the gate, they still look really, really strong to me. Russell Wilson is going to be, what, in his third year now?
Yeah.
Going into his third year. Marshawn Lynch is a beast, as we all know. That defense is really something. Mm-hmm. But I also think that we've got a situation in the NFC where some other teams have risen up a little bit. And of all the teams, all the good teams in the NFC, I think the Seattle is the least likely to drop off a little bit. But I still think they will just a tad, and that might make it more of an open competition. That's where I'm at with them.
I think so, too. I mean, they're the same team for all intents and purposes. And, you know, they're still going to be unbeatable at home because of the 12th man and all that garbage. But, you know, what more else can you say? I think they might take a step back. I don't know if they're going to be 13-3 again. That was impressive. But
let me ask you a question about the Seahawks really quick. I heard this. I was listening to a couple podcasts today, and I heard two different people bring this up. Are we reluctant to pick them to repeat just because no one's repeated in such a long time? I mean, is that what it is? Like, you just get into this mindset where you go, no one ever repeats, so they won't either?
I think that happens in any sport, though. Everyone's really usually reluctant to pick a repeat. I mean, especially in the NFL, where you've seen things change so fast
with
some of these teams. And, I mean, we saw it last year when we talked about the Packers, you thought they would go to the Super Bowl and then you'd lose Aaron Rodgers. So it's, say you go into this season and you lose Russell Wilson, and I don't even know who's the backup there anymore. It's not Matt Flynn, because he's holding the clipboard in Green Bay again.
I did I hear Blaine Gabbert, I think, is the backup in San Francisco. I was going to say Blaine Gabbert, but that he's in San Francisco.
Right.
I have no idea.
But either way, it's, you know, maybe something happens to him in the season, but otherwise, I think part of it, too, in terms of people not picking in the repeat, is just you lose the drive sometimes, you know? And maybe Pete Carroll's the type of guy that could keep that sort of energy up going into a following season like that. But I don't know. I think 13-3, I think, is the high water mark. I don't know if they could go 14-2 or anything like that. But I'd probably put them just around the same, probably 11 wins this year.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. The one thing I think that they do have as an advantage as far as repeating goes, they're young. So you don't have guys that are going to sit back and rest because they finally got that ring. They're still young players on that team. And they're in a position, they've got a lot of talent, they're in a position to maybe run off, like if they do run off a second Super Bowl in a row, all of a sudden you might start talking a little bit of dynasty talk. And so they've still got something to play for.
Yeah.
And I think Russell Wilson's the type of guy and player that he's not going to just let them sit back and rest on their laurels. So we'll see.
No, and I think the thing that's important when you're talking about them establishing a dynasty or anything like that, their window is probably these next 2 years.
Exactly.
Because as each year goes by, they have to pay each one of these guys a little bit more. And, I mean, they just had to pay Sherman and Earl Thomas. I don't know who's up next year, but I'm pretty sure Russell Wilson is up in 2 years. And he's getting paid only like $600,000 a year right now, which, you know, he's a Super Bowl champion right now. If you look at what guys like Joe Flacco get, or even Matt Ryan, who hasn't won anything.
Well, a really good example is Alex Smith, who just got a contract guaranteed $45 million. If Alex Smith can pull that kind of money, when Russell Wilson walks into the Seattle GM's office and sits down to negotiate and has that big giant Super Bowl ring on his hand, and he's going to go, "Look, Alex Smith got this. What am I worth?" And how do you
Andy Dalton too?
Yeah, I mean, how do you argue against that if you're negotiating with Russell Wilson? You can't say, "Well, you're not as good as Andy Dalton or Alex Smith." So yeah, he's going to get paid and get paid big. And you're right.
Yeah.
The window is going to close financially quickly for these guys, because that's another – if there's a downside to having a young team, that's it. They're going to be guys that want to get paid. They're going to go elsewhere. And before you know it, you're looking at 8-8 again.
Right. So I think if there's any motivation for them to keep going as hard as they did last year, it's that this thing could run up pretty quickly. But I still have them on top of the division. But close behind them, even though they've lost several things on defense for several different reasons.
Yeah.
The San Francisco 49ers, 12-4 last year, wild card there in the NFC. Went on to play the Seahawks in the championship game, and close tight one to the end. They're still going to be right there. Offensively, they're still just as good as they were. Colin Kaepernick, Frank Gore, Vernon Davis, Michael Crabtree, Anquan Boldin. They're solid when it comes to offense. Defensively, though, this team's lost a little bit, and they lose Aldon Smith for
nine games.
Was it nine?
Yep.
For his bomb threat at the airport. another one of their defensive ends just got arrested for domestic violence yesterday. And something else that we can talk about a little bit later is the new domestic violence policy. That's been a big issue over the offseason here for the NFL. He's going to get suspended 6 games as probably the first guy under this new policy. And who else? They lost somebody else to an ACL tear, I thought.
I know Smith's out for 9 games. There's another player, I can't remember who it is, it's out for 8.
Right.
And then you have McDonald that just got nailed for the domestic violence thing. So, I don't think that they're as close to the Seahawks as they were last year. And I think this is a team that could easily, if a couple breaks go the wrong way, they could be looking at a 7-9 season. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see it happen. I'm still not sold on Colin Kaepernick as a quarterback. Frank Gore is going to be 31 this year, and we all know what happens to a running back after they turn 30. I don't know why, but it does. Mm-hmm. Fred Jackson
Guy Carlos Hyde backing him up, though.
Yeah, but he's a rookie, and you can't count on that. But I think the 49ers, you talk about every year we have a team that you think is going to be good, and they're not quite as good as you think they're going to be. If I had to pick one this year, it would be the 49ers. I'm not saying they're going to be bad. They're not going to drop to 4-12, 5-11, or whatever, but the losses they've got on defense for the first half of the season is going to hurt them a lot. You don't know what the health's going to be as things roll along. So I could see them really, they could get out of the gate slow. And before you know it, they're looking, like I said, 8-8, 7-9 season. And it's just one of those things that I believe they're going to drop back from the pack a little bit. I think Seattle is clearly a cut above them this year, whereas they weren't quite as far ahead of them last year as they are this year.
Yeah, I think San Francisco will take a step back. I think, I mean, but I don't know if it's all the way down to 7-9, 8-8. I could see it a 10-6 is probably where I'd put them if I had to ballpark it right now. And I mean, both those teams there at the top, they're helped out by the Cardinals losing stuff on defense,
yeah,
and the Rams losing Sam Bradford again. Ugh. So I mean, they're the two best teams in the division. Maybe Arizona could put something together. I mean, because they did improve their offensive line. Carson Palmer another year there, maybe learns the system a little bit more. They're trying to establish a little bit more of a running game with Andre Ellington, because that's what Bruce Arians is known to do, as he was in Pittsburgh and for his 1 year in Indianapolis. But I mean, we can move on to the Cardinals, because again, the 49ers and Seahawks kind of the same. The Cardinals, though, they improve their offensive line. They get a couple guys. They get one guy from the Raiders. And I mean, that's something that's been the big thing, is if you could keep Carson Palmer upright, because if you hit him too hard, he might crumble to dust.
Yeah, just explode into a puff of smoke, yeah.
But they did lose Darnell Dockett for the year,
yeah,
with an ACL tear, and he was the heart and soul of that defense. They lose Carlos Dansby, but they still have Patrick Peterson. They still have Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, there at strong safety. And Calais Campbell's still as good as anybody else there on the D-line. But
the Cardinals, they're interesting, because they were really tough last year.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to say they were really good last year. They played good, tough defense, and they were a tough team. But, again, they took some big losses on defense. As long as Carson Palmer's your quarterback, it's a 50-50 proposition.
Mm-hmm.
He could be good, but he could be one week and be just as awful the following week. I don't know that the Cardinals repeat the 10-win season from last year. They could, but I see them another team that's going to take a step back. And while I'd say if things go badly for the 49ers, it could be 8-8, 7-9. I think for the Cardinals, that's about what you're looking at with this bunch. It could be better, 9, mm-hmm, maybe 10 wins, but I think they're going to need some breaks. I just look at them as a third-place team in that division and not taking the step forward they needed to take to catch up with the Niners or the Seahawks.
Right. I mean, they had an incredible run at the end of last year, but that was mostly driven by how well their defense played. And their defense has been the thing that's buoyed them to those 7 and or at least the 8-8 seasons that they had over the last couple of years, even when they had the terrible quarterback play that they had. I think it's weird. I mean, we talk so much about Carson Palmer. I think it's weird. When the draft was going on and where some of these quarterbacks were falling down, I thought for sure that the Cardinals, where they were, I think they were at 20. Johnny Manziel was there. So was Teddy Bridgewater. And, you know, I don't know if they think really highly of Drew Stanton as their backup, or if they think that Carson Palmer is going to carry him along for another 2 or 3 years or something like that, which I wouldn't want to rely on.
No.
I thought that they were a team that would be primed to pick one of those quarterbacks that was falling a little bit there in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, they had a shot at, like you said, at Manziel. I think Teddy Bridgewater would have been a great fit for the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah.
And I think a lot of teams are going to regret not taking Teddy Bridgewater as time goes on. But, yeah, the Cards just standing pat at quarterback was a bit of a surprise. Drew Stanton, I mean, is that who you want to bank your future on? Because let's be honest, it's not Carson Palmer.
No.
He's already old, and like you said, he could fall apart at any given moment. So a very curious choice by the Cardinals not to draft somebody when they had a chance to get – there was a pretty good quarterback still available at that point, and they just passed on everybody. I don't know.
So, I mean, going forward in the future, the Cardinals are – I think the Cardinals might take a huge dip, not this year, but the next year, because some of their defensive guys are going to leave. They're still going to have, like I mentioned, Patrick Peterson and Tyrann Mathieu in the secondary, but they're losing those guys up front. Carson Palmer is going to go away. Larry Fitzgerald's eventually going to go away.
Yeah.
I think his contract's up after the – or no, his contract's not up. They did some restructuring of his contract, and so he's only being paid $8 million this year, but next year he's getting paid $23 million on the salary cap. And as much as I love Larry Fitzgerald, he's getting a little long in the tooth, and I think this might – I could see a scenario where this is his last year in Arizona.
Yeah, I just – we talked about it, I think, last year on the show, what a shame it is that he's had to go through the John Skeldon and all those years and all that. But they
imagine if he had had an average NFL quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
His entire career. I mean, taking out the spurts that he got with Kurt Warner, but then you have the – terrible down years with Derek Anderson and Kevin Cobb and John Skelton. And
right.
Max Hall was in there.
Max Hall.
Yeah. Tiny guy to BYU. Not Steve Young, but...
It is a shame, and I would like to see Larry Fitzgerald, because I agree with you. I don't think the Cardinals... Again, I don't think they're going to be a bad team, but I think if you're a Cardinals fan and you're expecting to improve on that 10-6 last year, you're probably going to be disappointed. And as it goes forward, I just don't see them building on what they have right now. I think you're right. They take another step back next year and start going back down the other side of the hill where they never had much of a window to begin with. What little window they had is already closing quickly, and I think that Larry Fitzgerald's probably in a different uniform next year. I agree with you.
Yeah, but thankfully... Due to other circumstances, they're probably at least going to be third, because we can move on to the St. Louis Rams. Oh, poor Rams.
Yeah.
Just come to Los Angeles. Come home. We'll
exactly.
take care of you. Sam Bradford tears his ACL again. They got Sean Hill at quarterback. Their defense is great.
Yes, it is.
Their defense is going to be very good. You know, they didn't keep Michael Sam. Okay, whatever.
No, but he did get picked up by the Cowboys, I saw.
Oh, did he? Good.
Yes, he did, yeah.
I hadn't seen that yet. It's kind of like the Cardinals had been in previous years. It's going to be up to that defense to keep them in games. And, I mean, they were 7-9 last year. They weren't terrible, but that was 7-9 with Sam Bradford. It was 7-9. I don't know if they could get to 7-9 even with Sean Hill.
Well, here's
the running back this year is Zach Stacy. He's good, but...
He's not Adrian Peterson. He's not going to get you four wins by himself.
No.
But something, I listened to the BS report today, and they brought this up, and I think this is a good point. Is Sean Hill really that big of a downgrade from Sam Bradford? Not potential-wise, not upside-wise, but just like side-by-side play. Because Bradford, we talked about it. We talked about it on this show. We've talked about it on basically a sports show. How long do you stick with Sam Bradford before you finally say, you know what, this guy's just not going to work out?
Well, I think we had talked about this a long time ago in the offseason, but I think we had said this last year, that last year was the make or break year for him. If I was the GM, I would have, after last season, I would have been like, you know what, we're going to move on. And, I mean, they're another team that didn't draft a quarterback when they could have late in the draft. They could have had Manziel or Bridgewater, because they're so steadfast on keeping with Bradford. And I think even though he has the ACL tear, when he comes back, they're still going to stick with him, I would have to assume.
Well, the
philosophy hasn't changed at all.
They've got a lot of money tied up in him, which is probably the biggest reason why they don't want to just cut their ties and move along.
Yeah.
But I don't know that they're going to be that much worse with Sean Hill at quarterback. I'm not saying that they're going to be good or anything like that, but I don't know that another 7-9 season isn't just as possible with Sean Hill as it would have been with Sam Bradford. The defense is going to be really tough. The offense, Tavon Austin can have a play here and there. You know, Zach Stacy's a pretty good back, but after that, what do they have? I couldn't even tell you.
I guess another question I have is, I would think that if when you have a season like this, and yeah, your defense is going to be good and they're going to keep you in enough games, but I think at the point where the Rams are, wouldn't you still want to lose as many games as possible?
I think at this point it would be the best thing that could happen to them.
But the problem that I think they're facing is, it's no secret that they're one of the teams that is involved in all these relocation to Los Angeles talks.
Right.
Do you think that maybe the people in the front office... Or even the coach on the field, or, you know, whatever, whoever you want to put in this, do you think that they're trying to be as good as possible to try and stave off that? Or if they think, that if they go so bad and nobody shows up to the games again, that they're finally going to just take that one step forward and move to LA?
I don't think with the coaching staff, I don't think they think about things like that, because you can't. It's just, it becomes too much of a distraction. But front office wise, anything's possible. But here's the question. Good, bad, or indifferent, is anybody going to show up to watch them? You see, that's the thing. I mean, I think they could go...
Well, the Cardinals finally got back into first place. The St. Louis Blues are going to be another playoff-caliber team. I don't know.
I don't know that an 11-5 Rams team draws any better than a 5-11 Rams team does. Maybe a little bit, but I don't think enough to make a difference to get them out of the relocation talk. They're in a bad stadium. L.A. is there waiting with just a bucket load of money to dump on them if they move.
And their owner got that big plot of land in Inglewood.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
All signs point to LA.
Yeah.
It's inevitable. It's one of those things that they can't talk about, or maybe they're just not enough I's dotted and T's crossed. But yeah, there's no way that they're not the Los Angeles Rams in the next 5 years.
I think so too. I think that of all the teams talking about moving, the Rams back to Los Angeles is the one that is the most likely to happen.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a tough year if you're a Rams fan, because you lost your starting quarterback. Your team probably wasn't that great to begin with. Now they're not going to be really that good at all. And you've got the specter of this might be the last year I get to watch them hanging over your head. So
yeah.
Not going to be a lot of fun for the Rams. But, yeah, they're going to bring up the rear. But, again, I think that 6-8 wins is still certainly a possibility, but it could just as easily be 2-14.
Yeah, hopefully, I guess the one thing you can hope for if you're a Rams fan is that they don't schedule a Monday night game against the Seahawks up against the Cardinals playoff game again. And, you know, when they show the game, there's 5,000 people.
Yeah, what'd they get last year? They got about, I think they still managed like 29,000.
I thought it was like 13.
Oh, was it? Okay, well.
Maybe it was 29. I don't remember. But it was still not great.
No.
Not great planning. But, I guess that's not something you can really plan for. But that's also something you get when you're ESPN and you back out of NFL negotiations and you get stuck with the crappy Monday night package now.
That's right. But, yeah, so NFC West, I'm liking the Seahawks. I think just pretty much the order we premiered them, I think that's the way I like to see – I think I see them finishing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I think Seahawks easily, and obviously the 49ers, probably a wild card team again.
I don't know if I'm ready to give them a wild card. I think they could, but I think the Seahawks is – I'm going to go out on a limb here and say the Seahawks are the only team from that division that makes the playoffs this year.
We'll move on to the NFC North, home of your Green Bay Packers, Greg. And we'll start with those Green Bay Packers, as they were the division champions somehow in a year where they lost Aaron Rodgers, in a year where they lost JerMichael Finley. They lost so many guys to injury last year. And thanks to the Lions crapping the bed and the Bears not able to really man up when it counted, with an 8-7-1 record, the Green Bay Packers snuck in and won the division. And, you know, I don't know what to make of this whole division because it was so skewed by Aaron Rodgers being injured last year.
My take on it is that everything in this division rides on one thing and one thing only. The Packers' defense. If it improves and it's better, I think they walk away with that division. If it's as bad as it was and has been over the past couple of years, it's anybody's to take, I think. I'd even throw Minnesota into the mix.
Really?
Yeah. It all rides on the Packers' defense. We know the offense is going to be great. If Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, they're going to put a lot of points up on the board. But
sure.
A lot of people, they're liking the Packers a lot this year, but I still look at them and go, you know, that defense, I mean, they brought in Julius Peppers, but he's 34 years old. I don't know that he's enough to make a difference. If the defense improves, and hopefully it did, then I think they're looking at a 12-4 season and they win that division easily. If not, you know, the Bears have got a really good offense. If their defense improves, it could be a real dogfight. I don't know about Detroit, but Minnesota's intriguing. It'll depend on what they do. But, yeah, it's the Packers. If the defense holds, that's the key in this division, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they still had a negative point differential last year. Negative 11 points, allowing 428 points, the third most in the division, somehow ahead of the Lions. yeah, I mean, for me, you obviously watch them more as you are a part owner.
That's right, exactly. I own like 0.0000001% of the team, yeah.
Yeah, you have a say.
I have a say.
You definitely recruited Julius Peppers. I know you made a couple trips down to Chicago.
I absolutely did, yes.
and
he said, who the hell are you and why are you on my front steps?
But, you know, the pass defense has been an issue for a couple of years now, but they've still been able to do pretty good things in spite of that because Aaron Rodgers is one of the top three or four quarterbacks in all of football.
Right.
And if he's healthy last year, they run away with the division. And I still think as long as he's fine, because even when the rest of those guys went out, he was still okay. But you lose Rodgers, and that kind of screws over the whole season. Even though you do make the playoffs at the end, you're not a big threat once you get there, unfortunately. But I don't know. I still think the Packers are pretty good. I don't know. if they have the next step, because I think in the playoffs is where the defense would become a bigger problem. Because I don't think any of the teams in their division have a truly explosive offense. Detroit can be, but they choose not to most of the time.
Well, see, I think the Bears, are just, and excuse the pun, they're loaded for bear on offense. I think they're gonna be again. It will depend a lot on Jay Cutler, as it always does, but. That's a team I think is going to score a lot of points. And when I talk about the Packers' defense being the difference, if the defense is solid and can play well, you're looking at a 12-4 season probably. If not, you're looking at a 10-6, and all of a sudden, you got to remember these guys all get to play each other twice. So the Bears could be right there in it. I'm not ready to hand it over to the Packers just yet. I think that, again, if the defense is there, yeah. But otherwise, I like that Bears team a lot. I got to be honest.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the Bears then. I think we've exhausted the Packers for what they're worth. They're kind of the same as they've been for a while.
Right, exactly.
The Bears, they showed – I mean, Jay Cutler was injured last year as well, and that kind of screwed the Bears' chances. But even when Jay Cutler was out, they have Josh McCown in there, and he starts throwing touchdown passes to Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall, and Jeffrey's now elevated himself into one of the top 10 or 15 receivers in the league. It all comes down to health for that offense. Because you have Cutler, you have Matt Forte.
Right.
But Forte's probably a year or two away from hitting that running back ceiling where, you're good, and all of a sudden you're not. And of course, you got the two wide receivers, like I mentioned. So, yeah, they're going to be right up there as long as they stay with it. I think the interesting thing for them is on defense, whether Jared Allen really makes any sort of impact moving over there from the Vikings. And, of course, second year with Mark Trestman as their head coach, surprisingly, did not punt on third down at all last year. So he made it through a full year of that.
He was tempted a couple times, though. I think he was tempted a few times.
Oh, sure. He went to the playbook, but
or he forgot and said, "Let's get the punt unit out there." He said, "No. Wait a minute." I just think that the Bears they're an interesting team. They're
always weird, though.
Yeah.
We mention this all the time, and we heard it enough from Andy when we talked to him regularly on the podcast.
Yeah.
You just don't know what you're going to get sometimes. You just don't. I mean, we think that, oh, yeah, if they're healthy, they could be a 12-win team. Or, if they're healthy, they could be an 8-win team or a 7-win team, too. They're just a weird franchise right now.
I think they're like the Packers Jr. They're not quite as good on offense. Their defense is kind of suspect, too. And that's what I mean. So if everything falls their way, if Jay Cutler has a good season, keeps the ball out of the other team's hands, and everything kind of clicks for them, I could see them winning 10, 11 games. But if not, they're the team that I think is the hardest to pick for all the reasons you just said in this division. You just don't know what you're going to get. They're certainly capable of winning 10, 11 games. They're just as capable of going 5-11. And they're just you're right, they're a weird team. And I think that this is the year where they're going to have a little bit better luck, and their offense is going to be a little bit better, the defense improves a little bit. And I think they're in the playoff hunt for the season. Now, whether they get there or not is another story. That'll, again, depend on the Packers' defense. But I think I like the Bears a little bit better than you do in this scenario.
Mm-hmm. We'll move on to last year's third-place finisher, the Detroit Lions. They finally fire Jim Schwartz. but they didn't make an upgrade.
Not exactly.
In my opinion.
Not exactly.
They hired Jim Caldwell, who has the personality of a wooden board.
Oh, you're giving him a lot of credit with that.
I'm giving more credit to the board.
Yeah, you're insulting the board by saying that.
You still have Matt Stafford. You have Reggie Bush. You have the best receiver in all of football in Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
You have a pretty talented defense. You got Ndamukong Suh up there and Nick Fairley on the front line. They're a talented team. And if we remember correctly, last year, the Jay Cutler goes down and Aaron Rodgers goes down, and they were like
they were poised. All they had to do was
I think they were 6-2,
6-3,
6-3 at the time.
Yep.
And they were in first place. They had the division in their hands.
All they had to do
was just be average for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
But they managed to be as bad as humanly possible down the stretch and finish up 7-9. And it's going to be a game and a half out of the playoffs.
It's going to be interesting with these guys because last year, like you said, they're a talented bunch. They've got a lot of talent on offense, a lot of talent on defense. And we blamed a lot of it on the coaching last year. Now, I think that Jim Caldwell, from Jim Schwartz to Jim Caldwell, is at best a lateral move. But it might be enough of a difference. Maybe there was something about the way Schwartz coached that these guys just didn't respond to, that maybe Caldwell and his effervescent personality will make a difference. But
well, Schwartz is known as kind of a hard ass.
Yeah.
And Jim Caldwell is not.
Known as not having a pulse.
he's very much a Tony Dungy disciple, but in probably the worst way that you would want a Tony Dungy disciple to be. And, you know, I'm saying this is when he was the coach of my team, they went 14-2 when Tony Dungy went away, and he led them to the playoffs and all that kind of fun stuff. But I never felt that there was an edge there.
Right.
And I think Jim Schwartz's edge, it certainly showed through on the defensive side.
Oh, yeah.
With you know, how aggressive they played on defense. But I don't know. I'm not sure about Matt Stafford. We know how good Calvin Johnson is. We know Reggie Bush can be good in stretches. But Matt Stafford, to me, seems like a lot of empty calories. He puts up all the numbers.
Right. But does he
do it?
Yeah, and another question is, does he do it when it matters?
Mm-hmm.
I think I heard that he's had 51 interceptions over the past three seasons, which isn't great. He's just a guy that he's a 50-50 guy. He's kind of like Carson Palmer, except maybe healthier. He might be great one week, but he could be terrible the next. And this Detroit team they're an enigma because they do have a lot of talent, but I just don't know what to make of them. If I had to make a prediction right now, I'd say that if they have a 6-win season, that's going to be pretty good for them. I could see them cratering this season because Caldwell, if Schwartz and his hard-ass approach had trouble keeping those guys disciplined, Caldwell standing there like a tree stump, I don't know what, you know, they're either going to just run right over him or maybe it works. I don't know, but I don't have a lot of faith in the Lions.
I think the other thing I don't know how much faith you want to put in this or not, but once Jim Caldwell left Indianapolis, he ended up as the offensive coordinator for Baltimore when they won the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And I guess if they employ the Baltimore Ravens line of our offensive playbook, and they just send Calvin Johnson as far as he can go, and have Matthew Stafford throw as far as he can throw, maybe that'll be a good battle plan for a team like that. Because, it's not like they don't always throw to Calvin Johnson anyway, even when he's quadruple covered.
Right.
And he still comes down with the ball somehow. But I don't know.
I will say this. If you're going to employ that offense, I like your chances better with Calvin Johnson and Matthew Stafford than I do with Joe Flacco and Torrey Smith. So there's that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. The Lions just... I'm disappointed in how they've gone.
Yeah,
remember two or three years ago when they made the playoffs?
Right, yeah.
And everything was going up, and they had Matt Stafford and Calvin Johnson, and they were just setting all these offenses on fire. And then it just all crumbled away so quickly and just...
Yeah,
for reasons you can't even pinpoint. To be honest,
they just it was like that. Right when they were supposed to start really ascending, they just dropped right off the table. And yeah. I will pick them to finish behind the team we're about to talk about next. I think the Lions bring up the rear in this division this year. I really do. Yep.
Well, let's move on to that last team, and that is your Minnesota Vikings. You obviously have a lot more confidence in them than I do, because I think there's only two questions for the Vikings this year. One, how many games does Adrian Peterson win you? And two, how many games until we see Teddy Bridgewater?
The answer is three in both cases.
Okay. What do you see in the Vikings that I'm not seeing?
I just think that they're going to improve. I don't think they were as bad as they seemed last year. I think they're talented. You've got Adrian Peterson. I think they had a lot of quarterback issues last year. I think Christian Ponder played. Well, if you remember, we were all the way down to Josh Freeman at one point.
Yes.
So they had no consistency at quarterback. You got Matt Castle, who I think is a solid game manager. And you've got, I think, a pretty good rookie on the bench in Teddy Bridgewater. You've got Peterson. I think that they're going to be better this year. Do I think they're a playoff contender? No. But I think they've got enough that they will be, if the Lions play like I expect them to play this year, they'll have enough to win, say, six games and finish ahead of the Lions with four wins. That's where I'm looking at. I don't think they're going to suddenly jump into the playoff conversation, but I think they're approved enough to maybe finish third in the division. That's what I see it.
Yeah. They have some interesting pieces offensively, but defensively, they were the worst defensive team in that division last year. So I think that has to step up a little bit for them to be in third place. Because I still think, despite the Lions being the Lions, that they have enough offense there to carry them over. I think Adrian Peterson would have to have another record year to make the Vikings up to what you think they're going to be.
Well,
even if they do put in Bridgewater early, say week three or four, something like that, or even week five, he's still going to have to go through the growing pains, and I don't know if they have a whole lot to work with for him to throw to. I mean, you have Peterson coming out of the backfield, and you have Greg Jennings, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I just don't see enough offensive pieces there for them to really work up enough points to go where you think they're going to go.
Well, I think that, like I said, I think that they're a four or five, maybe six win team, and that's a good season for them. But I do think that Detroit, I just don't know how you recover from last year. I don't think Jim Caldwell was the answer, and I think that Minnesota is a team that, while not on a meteoric rise by any definition, they are moving up. Or I think Detroit craters this year. I just do. I mean, I could be wrong, but I like Minnesota better.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I honestly wouldn't be surprised if any of the bottom three teams of that division, no matter what order they finished, just because, I mean, we talked about how up and down the Bears can be, how up and down the Lions could be, and then maybe the Vikings surprise a lot of people. But I think this division's pretty straightforward. Like I said, I think the Packers are the class. I think they win this division with ease, not having to sweat it out in the last day of the year like they did last year. But I think any of those three teams could finish in any which order. But I think the Bears will still be at the bottom of that playoff mix, at least until week 13.
I think the Bears are the best chance to – if anybody's going to unseat the Packers, the Bears have the best shot at it. I don't think they will. But I think the Bears have enough to be in the playoff mix throughout the season. Whether they get there or not, we'll see. But I'm gonna be optimistic with the Bears and say that they're going to be better than people think they're going to be. And Detroit, Minnesota, you can interchange them, and we'll see what happens. But I think it's the Packers' division to lose. If the defense improves, I think they walk away with the division no problem whatsoever.
We'll move on to the NFC South, and this is a division that I think is going to see a lot of shakeup. And by a lot of shakeup, I mean the first place team from last year, the Carolina Panthers. I could easily see them, after a 12-4 year, getting one of the byes in the NFC. I could see them easily finishing in last place in this division.
Well, go ahead.
Well, I think the Saints are going to be better. Even if they're the same at 11-5, I mean, they were still a game behind the Panthers. They're still one of the class teams in the NFC. The Falcons had the worst possible year you could possibly have last year.
Yeah.
With all the injuries and the offensive line play was terrible. And the 4-12, the amount of talent that's on that Falcons team is not 4-12. And the Buccaneers, they made a lot of changes that I like. And maybe those sparkly new helmets push them forward. But the Panthers, the key to their success last year was the defense. Cam Newton stepped up a lot and helped them get to eventually win the division, winning those close games late in the year. But the defense was what put them forward, only allowing 241 points last season. But they lose a lot defensively, and I don't know if we can count on Cam Newton to be as consistent as he was last year.
This is a team that I think everybody that's anybody talking about football sees this team regressing in a big way this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think 12-4 is out of the question for them this year. I don't know if they're going to be quite as bad as everybody says they're going to be, but this is going to be a tough division this year because the Bucs are going to be a lot better. I think the Falcons, I'm not ready to jump on the Falcons bandwagon and say, yes, they're going to be back and be back into Super Bowl and playoff contention, but they're going to be better. The Saints are the Saints, and I just don't know how the Panthers get past those three teams with the losses they've had and everything else. Yeah, so they're going to finish last in the division, unfortunately for them, but I'm with everybody
else.
And
not to mention, they lost the heart and soul of that team in Steve Smith. And that was something that surprised me. I mean, I understand that the NFL's a business, and he was asking for a little bit of money, but I think a guy like Steve Smith is a guy that you need to pay. I mean, they were in salary cap hell as it was, and that's why they lost a lot of the pieces on defense that they lost. But they just got into a point where the problem that the Panthers faced last year is the exact same thing that's going to hit the Seahawks.
Right.
You know, where you're going to get into a salary cap hell, and you're just not going to be able to afford some of your veteran players or some of your key guys, and you're going to have to part with them, and you're going to have a drop. And the Panthers are right at that point. They should have peaked earlier, is what the problem was. They should have been this team 2 years ago.
Right.
But they took too long. They wasted their opportunity losing at home to the 49ers as they did.
Well, if you think about this team, last year was the season we expected them to have 2-3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And when they finally did show up, they had blown it to a point where we were surprised that they were as good as they were last year.
Right.
And they're going to be the big regression team this year. What do you think? 5-11, 6-10, maybe if they're lucky?
Oh, I think 6-10 is probably right. Maybe Cam Newton pulls a couple games out that they shouldn't. But here's the other thing is that, I mean, you're a first place team, so you're going to play a first place schedule this year. So their schedule is going to be a lot harder than it was when they were a third place team before, you know? So losing those pieces, having the tougher schedule against them, again, as we mentioned, all those teams getting better, third place, I think, is a high point for the Panthers. I think they finish in last.
I do, too. I absolutely do. And it's just because you just can't lose what all they've lost in a division where I think every team improved. I don't know if the Falcons necessarily improved so much as that last year was just such an outlier for them, I'm trying to think of a word here, but nobody expected the Falcons to be 4-12 last year.
No, it was an aberration.
Aberration, that's the word I was trying to find.
There you go.
See, when you get old, you forget things, but
sure.
Like your vocabulary. But yeah, I think that the Falcons are going to be better, and I think the Buccaneers, just the coaching change alone is going to make a huge difference with that team. And then you've got the Saints, who I like as a serious Super Bowl contender this year. So, yeah, the Panthers have any other division, maybe it's not quite so bad. Put them in the AFC Central. They might be in contention, but sorry, you're in the NFC South, and that's the breaks.
Yep. Move on to the second-place team, the New Orleans Saints. Pretty good year last year. They finished 11-5, just that game behind the Panthers. They win their playoff game in Philadelphia, and then they proceed to go up to Seattle and get just lambasted like they did on Monday night earlier in the year. But I think that they're still the class of this division. Drew Brees in that offense is still on point. They were undefeated at home last year, 8-0. I would expect them to do the same or similar, at least 7-1 at home. The Saints are what they are. Jimmy Graham's not going to be able to dunk on the goalposts anymore, despite him doing it in every preseason game when he got the opportunity to. But I think Sean Payton will probably be like, look, you made your point in the preseason when it didn't count. Can't do that anymore.
Did he still get fined for the preseason stuff?
I'm assuming. Yeah.
I understand that, okay, I know you're Jimmy Graham and you've made a ton of money, but just taking money and just throwing it out the window like that to prove a point, I don't know that I'm for that. But I'll say something else about the Saints schedule, or the Saints too. Their schedule isn't that tough if you look at it. They got a couple of really tough games in there. They're going to have to play San Francisco. Do they have Seattle? Let me see here.
I don't think so.
Well, they got the Packers, but there's a lot of easy games in there. I mean,
yeah. After
Atlanta, they've got Cleveland, Minnesota, Dallas. Tampa Bay might be tough. Detroit. Green Bay is a tough game. Carolina is going to be easy. They could. I just think they're the class of the division at this point, and they're going to win it easily. They're better than they were last year. I think the defense has improved a great deal, and Sean Payton's a great coach. I think he proved that by the year he was gone and then coming back and seeing what they did last year. So they're going to be, like I said, I like them as a Super Bowl contender this year.
Yep. Then even the road games that they have, they do have some interesting road games late though. Luckily they play Cleveland earlier in the year, so they're not going to get the terrible lake effect that you could get in Cleveland Stadium. But, I mean, they do go to Pittsburgh late November. They go to Chicago December 15th. So those are two big ones. But, you know, finishing off the year in Tampa Bay, not a bad deal.
Right.
And, of course, playing outside for this team is always an issue because of the dome that they do play in and they're so dominant in. I mean, they went 8-0 at home, but they were only 3-5 on the road last year. And
that's something
that's always their thing, though.
That's something they've got to improve on, too. They've got to figure out a way to win outdoors on the road, because unless they can find a way to have the best record and get home field advantage throughout the playoffs, in order for them to make the Super Bowl, they're going to have to win a road game at some point, more than likely.
Right.
I mean, because I think that Seattle's probably still the best bet to get home field throughout, and you've got to be able to figure out a way to do that, and that's their biggest issue is the road thing.
Right. I mean, if that game against Seattle is in the Superdome instead of in CenturyLink Field, I think it's a completely different game.
Oh, yeah.
Was it raining during the regular season or the playoffs?
I think it was the playoff game.
Yeah.
We thought that they might have a chance, and then the rain came, and that was like, that's it, forget it, there's no way.
Right, right. They were kind of close, and the rain came and shut them down. So I think it's a completely different game if they switch locations. So 11-5, 12-4, even 13-3, I think that's where this team needs to be if they have any sort of Super Bowl chances, because if Seattle's on point, or if Green Bay's on point,
right,
and they have to go into Seattle or Lambeau Field, I don't think, even as good as I think the Saints are going to be, they don't come out of either of those places with a playoff win.
They're not going to Lambeau Field in January and winning a game unless something changes drastically about how they play on the road this year. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
So, but I still like them to win the division. I think they're the best team in it.
Yeah. Their other domed compatriot and the other member of the biggest rivalry that you don't care about.
the little rivalry that could.
Yes. The Atlanta Falcons, like we mentioned, just as horrible as anything could have happened to them last year. Offensive line injuries, Julio Jones goes down, Roddy White's out of sync. This team is built on offense. Their defense is okay, but it's built on Matt Ryan and that offense.
Right.
And they just were bad. There's no other way to put it. They were bad. So I don't think there's any way, even if everything was equal, I don't think they could go 4-12 again. I think that's going to be pretty hard to do. But with the class, with the improvements, and even if Carolina's sliding down, there's still going to be a tough win there for Atlanta. What do you see from Matty Ice and the Falcons?
Well,
you've been watching the Hard Knocks.
I will say this about Matt Ryan. I don't know how much faith. I mean, he's a pretty good quarterback and all that, but watching him on Hard Knocks, I gained a new appreciation of him as a person. He just seems like a really genuinely nice guy, and I like that. I don't think that makes a bit of difference on the football field, but it's all in the offense. But if everything works out for them, if Matt Ryan has a good season, and they're tight at wide receiver, you got Roddy White. You've got Julio Jones, and you've got Devin Hester's there now who can do some damage.
Yeah. The only Steven Jackson's not that bad as a
yeah, but he's over 30 now. But they've got the kid Devontae Freeman who looked okay in the preseason. But I think they make an improvement from last year. I know a lot of people are looking at him saying, there's your bounce back team. But I don't see that. I mean, they might contend for a wild card spot, but they're going to be better than 4-12, but I don't know that the defense is enough to get them to the point where they're a real serious playoff contender. They could be, but that's what it boils down to for them. They're just going to have to outscore people, and I think if memory serves, they have a little trouble winning outside the dome too.
Yeah, they were 1-7 on the road last year.
But, yeah, so
they were 4-12. I don't know how much you want to take out of that. But yeah, I think they'll be better. I think they'll be in wild card contention. They're not going to catch the Saints, I don't think.
No. They could be there.
Those games between those two are going to be shootouts, though.
Yeah, they're going to be fun to watch. They could be there in the end in the playoff race, but I don't see them winning the division or anything like that. I don't think that they're going to make the big turnaround that a lot of people think they're going to. I think they'll be much better. And last year, just kind of snowballed on them. They got off to that slow start, just kind of like with the Texans, except not as bad. It just fell apart from there, and they couldn't get it back together, but maybe a wild card shot. We'll see. I'm saying anywhere between 8-10 wins at best. You know, it could be 7-9. Who knows?
And we'll round out the division with the last place team, the other 4-12 team. The team that I think has had probably the best offseason of many of the teams in the NFL, despite their uniforms that they're running through now. The Tampa Bay Bucks, they get a new head coach in Lovie Smith. They're just with switching out to Lovie Smith. There's just a new energy there. There's not the personnel changes are there's several of them and they're kind of here and there, but I just think the energy change, the mindset of the franchise from last year to from Greg Schiano to Lovie Smith now is just such a complete 180. And I think that's a team that really needed that invigoration of energy that a head coach like Lovie Smith can bring coming from what they had before. I like what they did in the draft. I think Mike Evans is going to be a pretty good receiver for them.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw what he did at Texas A&M where he just – Johnny Manziel would throw the ball up in the air and he'd go up and get it. And I think they'll be able to do that. They brought in one of the McCowns. I forget which
McCown. Josh.
Was it Josh McCown?
Yeah, the Bears McCown, I believe.
Yes. And I think that's an upgrade from the quarterback. Sorry, Mike Glennon.
Yeah.
You're not the future for Tampa Bay. But I just kind of like the feel of these Buccaneers going into this year.
Well, you know, we talked about it last year. I think we were probably into the fourth week of the season, and every week we were just amazed that Greg Schiano was keeping his job somehow. It was I don't know what took them so long to get rid of that guy. I thought he was going to be a disaster from the start. I think I said it last year. He was a bad hire. Lovie Smith, he's, you know, say what you want about him, man, but he did okay in Chicago. I don't know if he's one of the best coaches in the league, but he's certainly an upgrade over Greg Schiano. They made some nice improvements. I don't know if I'm totally sold on Josh McCown as a quarterback, but I know Sports Illustrated's got the Bucs winning the division. I don't think I don't think they're better than the Saints. And
no.
And I think the Falcons are going to give them fits, too. But I could see them, again, they're like the Falcons. I could see them fighting for a wild card playoff spot. It's going to be a tough division because they play each other a lot. And it's going to be, I think, a lot like it is every year in the NFC South. They're going to beat up on each other, and we'll see who's left standing at the end. But I think they're probably a little better than the Falcons and maybe a contender for a wild card, but not division champions, not yet.
I mean, I like them. I don't even know if they're going to compete for the playoffs. I could see them going six or getting six or seven wins.
Yeah, I mean, they could compete for a playoff spot. I don't know if they will or not.
Right. And Lovie Smith's going to turn the defense around. I think the thing here is that what they're doing now is the perfect way to turn a franchise around. Not necessarily towards ultimate championships, but you hit a low point. You need someone to bring you out of that, and I think that's what Lovie Smith can do. He can get them up to a respectable point, and then maybe from there you have to add a couple pieces or change a coach to take that next step and vault into championship contention. But I think they're doing the right things. I mean, we made fun of the uniforms, and I think we both of us also said that on TV from far away they're not as bad as we initially thought.
Right.
But then once you look at them close up and you see how dumb everything is together.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, they're going to be shiny, I guess.
Well, you know, I hopefully the players don't care. I kind of wish they did because maybe then we wouldn't see as many ridiculous uniforms. But
yeah.
But I think they're going to be improved. I'm not as sold on them as a lot of people are. I did hear this, though, that when they were 0-8 last year, according to the Football Outsiders website, they were the very best 0-8 team ever, which you can take that however you want. But I don't know if that means that they're, you know, that,
yeah.
But that they were a lot, you know, bad breaks and this, that, and the other thing. So, but yeah. I, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, they're going to win the division. They're going to be really tough. I'm not ready to go that far with them yet because I still think the Saints are kind of like the Packers in that respect. They're a cut above everybody else in that division, I believe.
Yeah. So, round out the NFC South, obviously, we both think that New Orleans is probably going to run away with this thing pretty handily. Unfortunately, the Panthers are going to fall back, but I think the Falcons might be the only team that end up competing for a wild card spot. But I think the Saints are the only playoff team out of this group. You know, I would love to have seen the Panthers keep their success going, because I love that. I actually like that team. I like Cam Newton. I like the uniforms,
yeah,
and all that sort of stuff. I like their vibe, but they just, you know, sometimes things are just out of your control, and
yep,
that's something that the salary cap provides. And it's too bad, but
we'll see. I think that the Falcons and the Bucks can contend for a playoff spot. Of the two, I'd probably pick the Buccaneers to be more likely to contend for a playoff spot, but I'm not ready to say they will. I think I'm a little bit higher on both of those teams than you are, but again, it's the Saints all the way in that division.
We'll finish up the NFC with everyone's favorite division, the most talked about division in football, the NFC East. Why is it the most talked about division in football? Well, because you get some of the big markets, the big personalities. You don't necessarily get the most high quality play. However, the team that did win the division, I see them getting better than they were last year. And that's the Philadelphia Eagles. They finished up 10-6. Nick Foles was good. Chip Kelly seamlessly transitioned in the NFL. And, you know, they had their struggles early when they were still trying to kind of poke their way around, trying to feel out how this whole thing worked. But once they got on a roll, they were one of the better teams in football towards the end of the year. They lost their opening game in the playoffs to the Saints at home, no less. But I mean, you look at the rest of this division, and Philadelphia is the best team in it.
Easily.
I don't think that's debatable. Right
easily,
now.
Easily. There's not you want to talk about a division where no one else is going to compete for a playoff spot besides the Eagles. This is it. But this is something I heard today, too. I want to bring this up and see if you realize this. Do you know, now thinking about a Chip Kelly offense, do you realize that the Eagles ran the ball more than they passed it last year?
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
They were the number one.
I mean, LeSean McCoy is the best player on that team, so it's probably the best thing for them to do.
But, yeah, I'm with you. Now, a lot of people are talking like they're going to really make the big jump. I think they're clearly the class of this division. And I was not a big – I thought Chip Kelly wasn't going to do well in the NFL, but he seems to be doing okay. These guys are going to walk with this division. Their problem is going to be staying focused and not losing some dumb games towards the end, mm-hmm. just because it's been so easy for them. But they're easily the best of the bunch. DeSean Jackson's a great player.
DeSean Jackson not on the Eagles anymore.
Or who? What did I say?
DeSean Jackson is now.
I'm thinking of LeSean McCoy. I'm sorry. My bad. McCoy. Right. Okay. But anyway, McCoy. Yeah, but they're going to be really tough. Yeah. Easily the class of this division, and the rest of it is just a complete dumpster fire. I don't know that they even deserve us to talk about them, but I guess we have to.
Yeah, we will. We both really like the Eagles, I think.
Yeah.
If not, just because of the rest of the division. In second place, the eternal 8-8. I think, didn't they put up the stat last year that the Cowboys are five, since they won the Super Bowl back, what, in 93?
Something like that, yeah.
That they're an even 500 team since then?
Pretty much, yeah.
Which explains everything you need to know about the Cowboys. They try so hard. Jerry Jones really wants this team to be good. And it's always, well, if things break right. But here's the thing. Things don't break right for the Cowboys.
No, and you want to...
But things don't break badly for them either. They're 8-8.
But you want to know why things never break right for them? Because they're not good enough to break right for them. At some point, when you're talking a team like the Eagles, the Packers, the Seahawks, you can start talking about things breaking the right way here and there. When you're the Cowboys, everything can break the right way. They're still going to be 8-8 because they just don't have the talent to be any better than that. And until Jerry Jones finally says, you know what, I've got to blow this thing up and start over again, this is what they're going to be. It's this way. It's 8-8 the rest of the way in. They're not going to – they might have a break or two go their way and win and get a 10-win season, but they're never going to be a serious Super Bowl contender set up the way they are right now. It's just as simple as that.
I think this is the year they don't go 8-8.
I agree.
I think they go 7-9.
Yeah.
or 6-10.
They're really going to fall off the table and go 7-9.
Tony Romo's still okay. Tony Romo's still a decent enough quarterback. He just can't win you big games. He can put up all the numbers. He's Matt Stafford.
Exactly.
Matt Stafford is going to turn into Tony Romo at some point. Enjoy your career, Matt. Jason Witten's still pretty good. They finally got rid of Miles Austin, so Dez Bryant's still there. DeMarco Murray still pretty good. But then they lost some guys on defense. They let DeMarcus Ware go to the Broncos.
Right.
So I think their defense is going to be a little bit worse. And I think that's probably what contributes to the couple losses there. And,
yeah, because their defense wasn't good to begin with. And you lose your best player on defense. It just doesn't bode well. They might even, shockingly, might only go 6-10 this year.
Yeah.
Is 6-10
enough to convince Jerry Jones to pull the plug?
I don't think so. I don't think that he's ever going to be convinced to pull the plug. I think it's just going to have to happen naturally, which could take a while at the rate they're going.
Does Jason Garrett still have his job?
After this year? Probably not, no. I don't even know if he lasts the season. If they get out to a really slow start, I think that you might see – if I had to put a bet on who was going to get fired first, well, there's always the Browns coach, which he could get fired at any moment now. But I don't know. Garrett, I don't think he might last the season, but if they don't do really well this year, he's gone, I think.
Moving on, third place was, you know, another team that you just didn't see them having as bad of a season as they had. The New York Football Giants.
Yeah.
You know, as a longtime Colts fan, I was always a Peyton Manning fan. And so when Eli came into the league, and my family is from New York, they're Giants fans, and so that worked out perfectly. You know, Eli, fine. Eli's a Manning. My family likes the Giants. I always have a soft spot for Eli. But, man, Eli was bad last year.
Oh, yes.
It's so weird to see a guy that's normally – I mean, he's not top five. But
no.
He's top 10. And he's consistently good. And then just to have that one year where nothing goes right and any pass he throws is intercepted, he just went so bad. And I have to assume that he bounces back just to regress to the mean.
Yeah.
But at the same time, could we reach a point where Eli just – starts falling off a cliff rather quickly?
Well, you know, I'm not so sure that we might not be there already. I mean, what's he going to be this year, 32, 33?
Yeah, but I mean, it's always so weird because this was a case where sometimes you have a case where two brothers both play professional sport and one is immensely better than the other. But this is a weird dichotomy where I would say Peyton is a lot better than Eli, but Eli's the one that has the two Super Bowl rings.
Yeah.
And but then we get to a point in both their careers where they could retire or get out of the league around the same point. Because Peyton has maybe another year after this one, maybe.
Right.
And Eli, if he has another season like he did last year, he could be out of this league in a heartbeat.
Well, you know? Eli's got the two rings, but let's think about this for a second. The 2 years that the Giants won those Super Bowls, did anybody think they were the best team in football either one of those years?
No.
No. So, no. The Giants are, boy, they're interesting because they could get a little bit better. And in that bad division, they could make a little bit of noise. But, wow, I just don't know what to make of them because Eli, I'll tell you what really struck me with Eli Manning was last night when we were doing our fantasy football draft.
Yes.
He was still sitting there at like the 10th round.
Yeah, I mean,
No one even wanted to take a chance on the guy, you know. Mm-hmm. And that just spoke volumes to me about him. But I think they're probably, of the four teams in that division, they're probably the second best, maybe. Because yeah. I don't like Washington a whole lot. I think the Redskins have some real problems. I think that RG3, and we'll get to him in a minute. But so maybe, you know, I don't know, the Giants might, I think they'll be better than last year. But I wouldn't be printing up those Super Bowl tickets anytime soon if I were a Giants fan.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I think if just by a product of the rest of the Cowboys in Washington, I think that they might be able to get into playoff contention if Eli plays decent.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't – their wide receivers have kind of dropped off recently, and that was another thing that didn't exactly help Eli. He wasn't throwing to a whole lot. But I like Rashard Jennings at the running back position for him, and defensively they're about the same as they have been. I could see them as a product of the division maybe getting up to – 9-7.
Yeah.
Maybe. They could get up to 10 and be in that real playoff hunt. But, I think they're second place because I think the Cowboys fall off a little bit. And I don't think they could be nearly as bad as Washington. So.
Well, I don't know if the Giants are quite as bad as they played last year either.
No, exactly. They're kind of they're in the same mold as the Atlanta Falcons were last year.
Right.
Where things just went so bad, so fast.
And they're changing the offense, too, which might help Eli. Plus, they had, Kevin Gilbride, who is...
Yeah, they changed offensive coordinators.
Yeah, so we'll see. But I'm like you. I have a soft spot for the Giants, too. Mostly, for me, it's the uniforms and the helmet, but I've always liked it. But I don't think they're as bad as they were last year. I think they'll improve this year, but...
I mean, they started off, what, like 0-6?
0-6, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was a bad 0-6. It wasn't we just missed a couple of games 0-6. It was awful. Mm-hmm. But... I think 9 wins is a high watermark for them, but maybe, if they get 10 wins, they're in the hunt, but I just don't see that happening.
I mean, you look at the record last year, they were 7-9. They started off 0-6.
This is true.
You take that away, 7-3 is not
bad at all. No,
to finish up the season.
Let's look at their schedule real quick here. Is it tough?
Well, that's the other thing, is they finish in third place, so they get a little easier schedule than they would have otherwise.
There's a couple. I mean, you got San Francisco and Seattle on there, but
sure.
I see a lot of winnable games for them if they play up to their capability. So yeah, I mean, maybe they could make a jump back and come back and get into the 9-10 win category, but I'm thinking 9-7 is about the best bet for them at this point.
Yeah, I mean, they have all their divisional games, obviously. It looks like they have the AFC South, which helps.
Yeah.
Because the AFC South is not good. And looks like the NFC West.
Yeah, because you've got
Seattle and San Francisco.
Oh, geez. If you got to play two out of the NFC, well, they got Arizona there, too.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Arizona's week two. And they've got the whole NFC West because they're St. Louis towards the end of the season.
Okay. So, they'll be fine. I think they'll be better. And if things break right, and because of how bad the division is and how easy their schedule actually – I mean, it's not easy, but, you know, you take out the Colts, the 49ers, and the Seahawks.
Yeah.
And their out-of-division games are pretty easy.
Yeah.
They could very easily work themselves into playoff contention, and I like to see it. Rounding out last place, as if they didn't have enough problems off the field – the Washington NFL franchise. I'm going to make a stand.
Are we not going to use their name? I'm fine with that.
I am not.
Okay, then we shall not use their name anymore.
You used it a second ago, so.
Yeah, I know. I didn't want to come across like I was being too PC, so I went ahead and said it. But if we're going to make the stand, I'm right there with you. We will not use their name anymore.
I mean, I don't know how much of a difference we'll make.
Well, no, but if there's two of us. We can get two more. Who knows? But, yeah, I'm with you. Okay, so go ahead. I've got not a whole lot to say about these guys, but
there's not a whole lot to say.
Just really quick, I don't think RG3 is going to work out.
No, I think that's pretty proven.
Yeah,
even if he's good, Washington gets up to 7, maybe.
I think he could have been good. I think Mike Shanahan ruined his career two years ago.
Yeah, I mean, playing him in that playoff game was a bad idea.
Yep.
But I just. I don't know why we talk so much about this stupid division.
I don't either. I mean, we really could have just said the Eagles are going to win it and move on.
There's always so many stories that come out of it because it's what people talk about, unfortunately. But their defense is meh.
They're not a good team. And you want to talk about a team that has ownership problems. Jerry Jones looks like Robert Kraft compared to Daniel Snyder. I mean, let's be honest about it. Daniel Snyder is a bad owner.
I mean, at least Jerry Jones is determined to finish 8-8 every year.
Yeah.
Even when Daniel Snyder tries, Washington still finishes 3-13.
Right. And this is just they're a bad team. And they had a chance. They had a really exciting quarterback, and they ruined him for reasons I still don't understand. I don't know if Mike Shanahan was just trying to get fired or what.
Maybe they thought. I mean, I think a part of it was what you're trying to say there. Mike Shanahan internal rift that was going on at the time.
Right.
And I think the other thing was that they saw this coming. Maybe they saw that, well, maybe he's not going to be good for too long, and maybe this is our best team that we're going to have here for a few years.
That could be.
And we have to go for it right now.
Could be.
Because there's nothing there. I mean, RG3's got to be healthy,
right,
which is not easy to do. Especially with the way that their offensive line plays for him. I mean, honestly, I think they would have been better off these last 2 years playing Kirk Cousins.
I agree. I totally agree because it's been pretty well established that running quarterbacks don't last long in the NFL. And,
especially running quarterbacks that take hits.
Right. And I just think that RG3
– needs.
What's that?
That take hits through their knees.
Exactly. They're just not a good team. They're going to be, you know, I think 5 wins is pretty much a reasonable expectation for these guys. They might show a flash here and there and get people excited, but they're just not good. And when you're not good, when you can say you're the worst team in that division, that's really saying something because that's not a good division.
I mean, you have Pierre Garçon to throw to. You have Alfred Morris coming out of the backfield.
Jackson. I got him right this time.
Right. DeSean Jackson now comes over to him. I don't know. And the thing is, sometimes you can say that some teams just play despite any of the outside influences when it comes to outside stories.
Right.
I really think this name thing is starting to wear on this team.
I can't imagine how it wouldn't be.
Because, you know, when you get into the season, yeah, okay, you're playing football and nobody really asks you too much about it. But then every single offseason, every single one of those players has to answer questions about it.
Exactly.
For months.
Exactly.
And the team has to put so much energy into defending itself for months. And you'd think that their focus would drift away, or that the players would just get tired of it. And I think this is a situation where all that off-field discussion just kind of, it not necessarily gets them distracted, but just wears them down after a while.
Well, yeah,
because you don't really want to play there anymore.
You got to think about it. Let's say that Alfred Morris goes out and rushes for 240 yards. The third question out of any reporter's mouth after that game is, what about the name? And you just get tired of it. You get tired of the attention. You get tired of the controversy. You get tired of the whole thing, and which is bad enough on a good team. But when you're not a good team to begin with, it's real easy for these guys to just start mailing it in. And they're just they got great uniforms, I'll say that. I like their helmet and their uniform a lot. The name itself is awful, but the depiction of a Native American on the helmet is actually very well done and very respectful. So that's the best thing I can say about them. They're not going to be good. They're going to be last place in a very bad division. That's what I think of the team from Washington.
Yep. And, you look back a couple of years, and you look at how they got RG3 with that trade with the Rams.
Yeah.
And you see the guys that the Rams have picked up, and most of them have been defensive players and I think an offensive lineman. And that's really starting to put the Rams on the right track if they could just get a quarterback that, you know, doesn't explode. And you look, I mean, if RG3 is out of the league, and I mean, if he gets injured again.
And he will.
I think even now St. Louis has won that trade. But,
oh, yeah.
You know, it just shows you don't do things like that. You don't do Herschel Walker trades.
No, and
they don't work.
I know that it's really fun to get caught up in the guys like the RG3s and the Johnny Manziels and all that, but history has proven that even when these guys are good enough to play in this league, they don't last. And that's something you got to think about. If you're going to roll the dice on a quarterback like that, it's got to be an Andrew Luck type guy. It's got to be somebody that's built in the traditional quarterback mold that you know is going to be there in 5 years.
Yep. But that's our – finally, we can be done with the NFC East. Hopefully, we only talk about the Eagles this year. I think we made a decree a couple of years ago, I think, or last year, because this is only the second year. We wanted to not talk about that division at all. We didn't want to talk about the Cowboys ever. But you get sucked into it because
– I think what the deal was last year with the Cowboys is we would not talk about them until Tony Romo threw the interception that ended their season. And damn if that isn't exactly what happened.
He did it against Denver.
Yep.
Yep. But, yeah, Philadelphia Eagles, class of the NFC East, and I could care less about the rest of it.
That wraps up part one of the NFL preview here on Basically a Football Show. Coming up in part two, we preview the AFC. Zach and I give you our playoff and Super Bowl predictions, and we'll talk about week one in college football. You can follow Basically a Football Show on Twitter at BA Football Show. Follow Basically a Sports Show at Basically Sports. And follow Basically a Geek Show at A Geek Show. Check out our entire catalog of podcasts on our website at basicallyasportsshow.com. Thanks for tuning in, and stay tuned for part two of the NFL preview right here on Basically a Football Show.